You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO at 102.7 FM.
When most governments develop nuclear energy sectors, the intention is usually for their economies to become less reliant on oil. In northern Alberta, one of the fastest growing oil producers in the world, the opposite may soon be true. The Stelmach government in Alberta announced in mid-December that it might consider nuclear reactors on a case-by-case basis. This announcement was made after the findings of an inquiry and a public consultation were released. Joining us from Calgary is Elena Shaharl, the vice president of the province-wide coalition to keep Alberta nuclear free. Hello, Elena.
Hi, thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Many of us in BC have not heard too much about this prospect of nuclear power being developed in Western Canada. Why is nuclear being proposed in Alberta?
Well, the nuclear industry here in Canada, as well as internationally, is desperate to try to revive the industry. They haven't had a very good prospects for a long time, and I think Alberta is just one of the places where they thought there might be some opportunity. Electricity is unregulated in this province. That's a little different, and I think that may have seen as a by the industry as a way to get in. So
is it just going to replace the electricity you have from other sources, or is it going to be used to do something new?
They actually are proposing to develop 4,000 megawatts, four large reactors in northern Alberta, and that's actually way more electricity than Alberta needs, particularly when there's been terrific growth in wind power, for example. There's more than 11,000 megawatts in the queue waiting for applications to be approved. Nuclear energy is clearly geared for export to the United States, and in fact, recently the province has pushed through Bill 50, which allows the government to develop some very large transmission lines running from the north to the south without a needs assessment for these transmission lines. So it's clear that this is for export. It's not because we're desperate for nuclear energy to provide our future electrical needs.
Now, I know that getting that oil out of the tar sands is a pretty energy-intensive activity. Is it possible that the nuclear power could be used for that also?
Well, they've talked about it, but first of all, the existing reactors that they're talking about, the third-generation reactors, quite large, 1,000 megawatts, are not suitable for use in the oil sands, and there is a federal standing committee that met and concluded that. More recently, the Canadian Energy Research Institute talked about some small Toshiba 10 megawatt reactors being developed down in the States, but these are fantasies. They're at a very early design stage, and in fact, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission in the state indicated that they call it the F4S design, certification would be costly and prolonged and at the vendor's expense. So there is an attempt to say this is going to be used in the oil sands, but in fact, the oil industry currently uses cogeneration and sells excess electricity back to the grid, so there isn't a need there.
Okay.
So I think that's a bit of a red herring.
Now, you know, when we think of nuclear power, we often think of Chernobyl or Three Mile Island nuclear accidents. What are some of the risks that we may be less aware of that you're concerned about?
Well, certainly, first of all, nuclear accident is a real risk here in Canada as well. There was actually Ontario Commission called A Race Against Time that assessed the risk of a nuclear accident specifically in CANDUs. And they accepted the assessment of Dr. Gordon Edwards and Ralph Torrey at that time that the risk of a nuclear accident is 1 in 10,000 per reactor per year. So if we were to increase the number of reactors in Canada by just 10 to 32, and they lasted the 60 years that ACL here in Canada is saying these new reactors will last, then the risk of a nuclear of a core meltdown, a severe nuclear accident happening over that period of time, is actually slightly more than 1 in 6, or slightly riskier than playing Russian roulette.
So
yes, absolutely, and I've had those figures confirmed by Dr. Edwards, so I'll stand behind them. So, you know, so it's not a remote. They like to say it's remote, but it could really happen. Some of the other concerns are water. The water needed to produce nuclear energy is 50% more than fossil fuels, and the current reactors they have planned, according to Bruce Power, that's the proponent here that wants to develop nuclear here in Alberta, according to their documents, these reactors would use 500 million liters of water a day. That's how much would be consumed, that's their words, and that's 180 billion liters over a year, which is almost twice what all existing and proposed oil upgraders northeast of Edmonton are currently using. So we're talking about a considerable amount of water, and that's a real concern that people need to be aware of. In fact, they're proposing to build them with cooling ponds and towers because there isn't enough water in the Peace River to do what's called a once-through system. So that's a real concern. Nuclear waste, I think, in the consultation process of the government that they just completed, came out that three-quarters of residents here in Alberta still continue to have a real concern about nuclear waste, and they should, because right now nuclear waste is stored right at the nuclear reactor site. It comes as part of the package. And even though there is an organization trying to develop a long-term storage for nuclear waste, it's estimated it's going to take 100 years for that to actually get in place. Not only that, but by becoming a producer of nuclear energy, the province is actually putting themselves on a list to actually become the nuclear waste repository for the country. So you know, that's certainly a concern as well.
Now, the government's been looking into whether or not it should allow the development of nuclear energy for some time, I understand. What did the first part of that process, the expert panel, look like?
Well, the expert panel included a past president of the Canadian Nuclear Society, which is the propaganda arm of the nuclear industry here in Canada. And as the process started, he then was appointed to the board of Atomic Energy of Canada Limited, who's the organization that desperately wants to build the nuclear reactors. So there was a clear conflict of interest. Our group brought Dr. Helen Caldicott, a health expert, a Nobel Prize nominee, to the province and offered to have her meet with the nuclear panel, but they said that they weren't going to meet with proponents or opponents of the project. But of course, they had a proponent sitting right on the panel. So the government promised an unbiased, balanced, objective look at nuclear. And then they went on to prepare a report that was anything but, that was really no more than nuclear propaganda. So that's what the process looked like. Then there was a quick consultation in May of 2009 that included an online workbook and a poll and some small group meetings, but that was all based on this report that provided, actually some of the facts were actually false in there. And certainly had none of the assessment of the health, environmental, and financial risks of nuclear. It didn't even talk about the kind of nuclear reactors that are being proposed here. It talked about a fictional 800-megawatt nuclear reactor in its discussion. So it really was a bit of a joke, and it cost the government $250,000 to produce.
So that was the extent of the public consultation, was an online consultation?
Online survey, random telephone call, and then some small group meetings. They did certainly meet with some stakeholder groups, but didn't seem to listen. But what the government has done in this recent release of the consultation results has actually tried to avoid taking, well, has succeeded in avoiding to take a stance on the issue. What they've said is, we're unregulated and nuclear power can come in here and will be considered on a case-by-case basis. And they were there before they started the consultation process. So they haven't actually taken the taken the responsibility to make a decision whether nuclear, whether this provincial government wants nuclear, to allow nuclear in the province or not. And that is within their authority and jurisdiction to do, to make that decision. So they managed to dodge the decision is what they did.
Have they released the results of what came out of that that public consultation?
Yeah, they did. And what they did is actually they took the answers that best suited them. They asked, they ignored the results of the online workbook or survey that actually had 3,600 people respond and was the bulk of the 5,000 Albertans that provided any input. 55% were opposed. So instead they went to the random 1,000 people phone survey. And out of that, they took the 45% that preferred that nuclear power plants be considered on a case-by-case basis. And that question should probably never have been asked. The consultants who wrote the report made it very clear in their small groups that that same answer of this case-by-case basis included people opposed to nuclear and people for nuclear. People who were opposed that said, okay, Mill, maybe you consider it on a case by case. So it was very misleading, you know, really the process was not objective, was not complete, and they never held public hearings. That was one of our main objections. In Saskatchewan, I don't know if you're aware of this, but they actually went through a similar process side by side, had public hearings, and that government has rejected nuclear reactors, large nuclear reactors, as an option.
Now, in this case-by-case scenario that the government says it's going to abide by, what is the likelihood of proposals being approved?
Well, the problem is that what they've essentially done is left it in the hands of the federal government. If Bruce Power now submits a formal application to the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission, then the process starts of an environmental assessment and so on. And essentially it leaves most of it into the hands of the federal government. I think the province would be happy just to back off and leave it there. It's too controversial an issue for them, I think, to handle. So would the Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission approve these reactors? Well, if you remember, the federal government fired Linda Keene from the Nuclear Safety Commission as head when she tried to shut down the Chalk River reactors because she had safety concerns. The Canadian Nuclear Safety Commission is supposed to be the independent watchdog for nuclear here in Canada, but it's very much on leash. I like to call it a nuclear watchdog on a leash of the Harper government, and does what they tell them. And of course, the Harper government wants to sell Atomic Energy of Canada Limited because it was called by the Harper government a fiscal sinkhole. But in order to sell it, they're probably going to have to build one of these prototype, first-of-a-kind nuclear reactors that are being proposed. And so, because, you know, just to make the agency in a position that someone actually wants to buy it. So the answer is they'll approve it federally.
Okay. And how have Albertans reacted to this news?
Well, the government brought in the news in middle of December when everybody's getting ready for Christmas. That wasn't a surprise, the timing. We sort of expected that. And then they kind of slipped it in there. They released the results of the consultation, and at the same time gave the green light to nuclear. And in fact, on the same day, Bruce Power put out a release saying they're very pleased to see that Alberta is open for business for nuclear and is going to look at it. So I think, unfortunately, Albertans, I don't think, are as aware of the issue as they should be. Some of them aren't even aware that the decision's been made, given when it's made. So our group will continue to try to get the information out there. We've been trying very hard, but I think that the public is still split on the issue. If you go around those obscure answers and questions that the government put out in their consultation, I think there's still a split with the public, but part of the problem is any information coming out of the government's been very one-sided. So Albertans need to hear about the risks. And one thing that you might be interested in terms of BC, that the only way these new nuclear reactors are going to be built is that the federal government will put forward billions of dollars in taxpayers' money to support them. In Ontario, they've said they won't go ahead with those reactors unless the feds help out, because the price of one of those reactors is now $13 billion, which is four times what they were originally estimating here in Alberta for the cost of one of those reactors. So it will affect all Canadians.
How would you recommend folks, both here in Alberta, across Canada, get involved then to keep Alberta nuclear-free?
Well, you can go to our website. It's www.nuclearfreealberta.ca, and there is an email link on that website. And get yourself informed. I think that's the answer. And in BC, I think, and across Canada, I think write to your federal members of parliament. Let them know that you don't want to see continued heavy subsidies of the nuclear industry when there are exciting renewable energy options that can easily meet electricity needs without taking all the risks associated with nuclear.
Well, it's been good talking to you this morning, Elna.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
We've just been speaking with Elna Shaharl. She's the Vice President of the Coalition for a Nuclear-Free Alberta. And you can find out more information at their website, which is nuclearfreealberta.ca.